Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we're going to have another incredibly important and jam-packed transmission lined up for you today. Big developments in the whole Fast and Furious case. And our own Patrick Henningsen, reporter for Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, is breaking this news. Of course, if you go back over a year ago, CBS broke that, they were tracking some guns they allowed to be sold to criminals in gun shops. They did that because they knew it was already coming out in local news in Arizona and Illinois and other areas, as well as New Mexico, that the federal government, through eight agencies, was shipping guns into Mexico, into Honduras, but also into Tampa, Florida, into Indianapolis, Indiana, and now we've learned all over the country, and running hit teams of, quote, former U.S. military. Now, I told you all this 6 years ago with one whistleblower, Celi Castile, who was with the DEA and then retired. Famous DEA agent. They tried to hire him 6 years ago to train former U.S. military, basically sheep dipped, in with Los Zetas to try to take control of the Mexican drug market. This is 6 years ago. Those interviews are there. We can't interview Celi because he's still in prison. A few years after exposing that, they set him up with some shotguns and said he was an illegal arms dealer himself, just because he needed money and went and sold a few of his guns at the gun show legally. So all of that happened, but he's on record 6 years ago. Now it's in these different federal filings. It's in the federal filings in Illinois and in Texas and the El Paso Times. In fact, for when Henningsen joins us in 30 minutes, will you guys just type in El Paso Times drug cartels allowed to bring in tons of cocaine? That'll come up. And it came out in the federal court cases that, yes, they were given national security clearances, and that's their defense, is they're really government agents. And the feds come in and say, yes, they did work for us, it's true, basically drop the charges. It's the same over and over again, but now we have this headline, more furious. U.S. soldiers trafficking arms, drugs to DEA agents posing as Los Zetas. And what happens is when this stuff gets exposed, they go, they're just former U.S. soldiers, and, we were just posing as Los Zetas in a sting, because it separately came out in some court cases, so they're having to cover themselves. The drug cartels, there's six of them that are in Mexico, but three big ones. The three big ones are run by the U.S. military. And then whenever low-level people don't pay their cut or the smaller cartels try to run the blockades, there's wars. And there's double-crossing and stuff that goes on. But here it is. And that's coming up in 30 minutes. Yep, there it is. Documents. Feds allegedly, and you can go to the trial later, it came out they did, allowed Sinaloa cartel to move cocaine to the U.S. for information. Now, when they get caught, they say, yeah, we were shipping in 18-wheelers of cocaine and telling the Border Patrol to let it in. But we did it to get information about the drug cartels. That one shipment was, what, 5 tons? And then my little memory goes back many years to the Associated Press when the state police found an 18-wheeler with 3.5 tons of pure cocaine in it and were ordered to give it to the FBI, and they released it. You can go on down the road now, Bubba Jack, because that's going to pay off the federal judges and everybody. That's how all this works. People are like, well, why are drugs illegal then? To keep the price up, silly. You got to make it illegal if you're drug dealing, murdering central banks that run child kidnapping rings on the side. And then Mitt Romney's wife's got a blind trust invested in it. Everybody makes it a big deal that she's invested in Goldman Sachs. I'm not saying she's perfect. The point is, why is Goldman Sachs running sex slave funds?
Yeah.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, the clarity of our research is really coming together minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Our analysis has been 100% spot on, unfortunately, on just how tyrannical this takeover is and the fact that once the cashless society is in place, the system is going to raise taxes by design on record at every level to selectively destroy families, businesses, independent corporations. And all of the mega insider Agenda 21 crooks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, the rest of them, they are all 100% exempt from even legal and lawful laws and all the other red tape regulations and color of law that they're engaged in. Homeland Security for the TSA and Viper teams is buying massive amounts of armored mobile checkpoint bulletproof booths to be set up on highway checkpoints. The IRS is trying to get federal legislation passed where if you are even being questioned or audited by the IRS, you are not allowed to leave the United States. I saw 10 years ago, Homeland Security, before it even had congressional cabinet power, meeting and saying, we're going to have highway checkpoints, we're going to have DNA databases, you're going to have Homeland Security approval to travel state to state, we're going to have checkpoints outside major cities and on highways, and if you haven't paid all the taxes, including local, your car is not going to start. And now all those systems are going in the cars. Where, oh, you don't pay your bill, we turn your car off. But now they're saying, oh, we're going to use the kill switches. Your cell phone will be turned off, your car, and you will not be allowed to have a job. Your bosses will be told you are fired. So it's an extrajudicial, immediate probation and freeze on being able to move. And it's all being phased in, face scanning cameras everywhere. Now, remember, this is being done by the narcotics, trafficking, murdering, child molesting, child kidnapping criminals that run this country. Here's the Daily Mail a few days ago. Mitt Romney's wife had blind trust invested in Goldman Sachs sex trafficking fund. And they go, well, it's okay. It's a blind trust. That's a red herring. It's not even about her. I can buy that she's in a blind trust because she's political. Most of them are. And so there's not conflicts of interest, and they're invested in Goldman Sachs because they're the insiders. They're the ones that always have the big profits. It's not about her. It's about how hiding in plain view, why does Goldman Sachs have a sex trafficking fund? Here's a Reuters. Ann Romney's trust invested in fund that controlled a sex site firm. Here's another one. Ann Romney's trust invested in Goldman Sachs fund that was involved in the sex site Backpage.com, which is connected to, in the reports, sex trafficking, sex slaves, underage, all this stuff, and this whole seedy underworld. That's not the issue. Why is Goldman Sachs involved in this? Why is DynCorp involved in this? Why is Halliburton on record? Because they do whatever they want, and they're getting rid of our Bill of Rights and Constitution. They're announcing that they're illegally spying on us. They are, through groups like MF Global, stealing billions of dollars and lying and being caught and not getting in trouble. We are in grave danger. That's why Forbes had the headline a few months ago, why is there a war on lemonade stands? And they reported on thousands of raids in every city under federal control of little kids selling lemonade, learning about the free market. $15 million fines for garage sales with local federal enforcers. That's Fox News. I know you think I'm joking. Look it up. $15 million, that's the third offense. $10,000 first offense. If any of the products you're selling out of thousands of recalled items a year, if you are selling an item that was ever recalled for whatever reason, as if you know, some refrigerator, toy, light bulb, it's total bureaucratic hell. We've got a report that's going to air tomorrow night that they've been going out 3 days straight interviewing the Austinites around the tens of thousands of acres that were taken from private landowners at gunpoint. You were forced to sell for pennies on the dollar back in the late 80s and 90s. With most of the land, 5 years later to 10 years later, they flip it and give it to select insiders for pennies on the dollar to build hotels, salons, golf courses, luxury home developments. They just didn't want to pay for the land, so they just said, eminent domain for the earth, 5-10 cents on the dollar max. There were SWAT teams sent out, farmers drug off, I interviewed them, celebrations of evil by the fake environmentalist. Now they've got UN Agenda 21 affiliated signs up. They are putting huge game fences up all around them, so the neighborhoods and cameras looking into people's houses. We have footage of people in their kitchens looking out with cameras facing out. Humans are arrested and charged if they're caught. By the way, my reporters did enter the preserve because, again, they don't want they promised everybody it's going to be parklands. Let us steal it. And a lot of Austinites went, take the land. We want to use it as more greenbelt. And, of course, I knew in other parts of the world, in the U.S., they would always take it and keep it. And we interviewed former head county judge Bill Elshar, who was a good guy and opposed the federal takeover. I didn't even know he lives up against one of these with cameras aimed at his house. But he's retired now. Got a full head of gray hair instead of black hair. I hadn't seen him in about 12 years. The guys went out and interviewed him yesterday. Very powerful interview. And it is Agenda 21. And the newspaper, the Austin American Statesman, said, even worse, breathlessly, people have walked humans into the preserve. And when it grew into people's backyards, because the government took an easement of their backyards, the cedar trees that grow like weeds, they're from Europe, they push out the oak and everything, invasive species. There have been charges and fines. One man cut one down that was on his property, but it's an easement the government took. And you know what? There's also going to be some charges. People have been also killing rattlesnakes. I know. It's evil. In fact, guys, show folks, just type in Dr. Michael Kaufman, UN maps. Kaufman with a C. Show PrisonPlanet.tv viewers the UN maps that were shown to Congress in 94. Where half the U.S. is off limits. Compact cities, checkpoints outside the cities. The real plan in the UN biological diversity assessments, I showed the original documents, they've now expunged everywhere but the library, in Road to Tyranny. I show the text outlined from the University of Texas Law Library, UN biological diversity assessment, 1996, in my 2001 film, actually came out in early 2002, Road to Tyranny. And they say you'll be in compact lockdown cities. Small rural communities will be outside those, kept at a subsistence level. You'll be arrested if you try to hunt any animals to eat. There will be gladiatorial games and public human sacrifice to unify the population around a new global green religion. Hunger Games is what they're planning. You saw The Running Man, where they arrest people if they're out after the curfew, and the secret police have face-scanning cameras and fake TV newscasts and big jumbotrons in the cities with the head of Homeland Security, the head of National Security, saying, watch your neighbors, turn your parents in, it's cool, it's trendy. And that's a Stephen King book he wrote in like 1980 that came out, what, in 84, 85, with Schwarzenegger. You see, it's all predictive programming. In your face. This is what's really planned. I happen to know via Shooter Jennings that, again, they take people's writings that understand where we're going, and then they decide to push it, not because the system's against it, but they want to acclimate you. I know that Stephen King through Shooter Jennings is aware of the New World Order, doesn't like what's going on. But again, they still take his book, turn it into a movie. It's probably the same thing with the lady that wrote Hunger Games. We contacted her. The publicist said she's not doing interviews. But watching that film It's exactly what they have planned. It has 12 regions. We have 10. Over half the country's off limits. They've cut off the resources in a feudal system. That's what Maurice Strong calls for, a post-industrial world. Red alert. CBS News. Oh, the IRS? Bill would suspend passport rights for delinquent taxpayers. Folks, you have a right as a citizen to come and go out of the country. But now, a collection agency for the Foreign Private Federal Reserve established in 1913, the bankers are saying, and we've always, Ron Paul said, they selectively enforce, they let the illegals in. These borders and fences and walls and checkpoints 100 miles in are not, and they're called national security zones, are not for the illegals. They have always planned, and I've told you hundreds of times, you're not going to be allowed to even go through that zone. And they're announcing they're going to build them on the other side of the highway now. Do you understand? And they've said, you're going to go in Dubai. You'll still have cash, but there'll be a face scan and thumbprint. Just a passive camera there under federal law. They're already having the places put it in voluntarily. The insurance companies give them discounts. It's already going in everywhere. Thumbprinting, face scanning everywhere. Yeah, here's the video, John Bowen. We'll show when we come back from break, okay? No. We'll show it when we get back from break, okay? I don't have time with 30 seconds. Back to what I was saying here. Oh, the IRS, Bill would suspend passport rights for delinquent taxpayers. And here's the other one. After huge ammo buy, DHS purchases bullet-resistant booths. Federal agencies preparing to unveil more checkpoints. Folks, I got Kurt Nimmo putting all these stories together. Listen to this. 83-year-old woman denied health care over carbon footprint. Go home and die. That's mainstream news. They say kill babies up to age 3.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there, without care, yeah, I was out of touch.
But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I knew too much.
I just knew too much.
Does that make me crazy?
Does that make me crazy?
That every major study on vaccines are filled with cancer viruses? They're murdering us? Does that make me crazy?
Does that make me crazy?
Possibly. Oh, boy. I mean, and we're just allowing a few thousand top globalists, in their own words, that's all there is. Rothkopf has written about that. To do this, to set up a nightmare system, to stage terror attacks, to pose as our saviors, to publicly run Al-Qaeda on top of it all in front of us, but say, give our rights up because Al-Qaeda will get you, and hire a bunch of low-grade morons at every level of the bureaucracy who will trample everyone's rights, including their own. I mean, look at this headline. This is so scary by Paul Watson, and he has links to the press release by the Homeland Security Department. After a huge ammo buy, Department of Homeland Security purchases bullet-resistant booths. Federal agency preparing to unveil more checkpoints, and they've announced that they have tripled the funding for the Viper teams to be on highways and are training local police to man the mobile armored checkpoints. And what happens is you pull up and under the transportation department, they have people there and they come over with their drug dogs, their bomb dogs, bug their eyes out at you, act like, you know, they're on the front lines of Afghanistan. And yes, they're starting, I have video on newscast, groping people on the side of the road and at bus stations and train stations from Texas to Florida, from California to Michigan. I've got the newscast. Just type in TSA at bus station and it'll show them groping little kids, even pulling their shirts off. And look, it's not happening to me, you filthy scum. Okay? You work for murdering, child kidnapping criminals. There it is. Mitt Romney's wife had blind trust invested in Goldman Sachs sex trafficking fund. And again, my issue is, why do they have a sex trafficking fund? Well, I mean, why not? DynCorp runs child operations. And then they run domestically, they're the biggest private contractor for CPS. With fake family court power, with police backing them, it's DynCorp operatives grabbing your children. But it's all done officially. And it's come out that there's bounties on what type of kids they want. And the state senator in Georgia announced he was going to release how they had a bounty on kids and got her head blown off over the weekend before she could make the announcement. We'd interviewed her. Oh, but her and her husband, when the police said both committed suicide, she's like, Monday I'm coming out. I got the proof. She was even contacting the media. And all of this was going on. And then her and her husband got a couple bullets in their schnoggins. Nice people run things. You're really nice people. Well, of course they kidnap kids. They see us all as meat, as cattle, as lower than cattle. But I know a lot of you aren't going to listen now. You're only going to listen later. I understand that. It's too scary to admit this is going on. So you're going to just say, this isn't true. This isn't going on. This can't be real. Just like I told you a couple weeks ago, that NBC tape where they were claiming Zimmerman was saying racist stuff sounded edited. They now admit they edited it and it's all made up. But it's no big deal. They're just the government mouthpiece MSNBC is trying to start a race war. It's no big deal. And now CNN's been caught altering the tape because it's criminal government policy to get us fighting with each other so they can be the referee and play the part of the savior when they are the narcotics trafficking, child kidnapping, cancer injecting, murdering criminals that make Hitler look like a choir boy. They don't dress up in a military dictator outfit like a clown like Hitler. The globalists sit there like loving liberals and give you a loving cancer shot. The patchouli oil, all of it is the cover for their mass murder. It's hardcore camo. It's camouflage, who these people really are. In public, Margaret Sanger's like, I love blacks behind the scenes. We got to murder these people now. We're going to pose as liberal. We'll get them. And they do get you. The liberal TV's like, oh, we care about you, Val Sharpton. The whitey, have some more abortions. And we're going to put more of you in prison. Here, watch some violent hip-hop. This is how the New World Order rolls. That's how they divide and conquer. 83-year-old woman denied health care over carbon footprint. It's beginning. No health care for you. You're too old and you're traveling too far. But the elite are going to fly around in jet airplanes everywhere. See, the new economy is the shutdown of the economy. The new economy is the police state. The new economy is the cannibalistic economy. The post-industrial implode economy. It's all in the Club of Rome. It's all in Iron Mountain. It's all in Tragedy and Hope. George Orwell, real name Eric Blair, who worked as an imperial policeman in India from a wealthy elitist family, then got disillusioned and went to work for the communist fighting Hitler pre-World War II and the Spanish Civil War and found out they were just as bad and actually working with other corrupt elements. Then he went and became homeless to experience that for a few years. And then he wrote 1984. And he's himself, because he was a propagandist in World War II at BBC. I forgot that part. The evidence shows probably MI5, definitely connected to it. And he writes about Winston himself as a nom de guerre, nom de plume, Winston in this fictitious 1984. Because before he'd written nonfiction books, but they wouldn't publish his book about where he saw Europe and the world and England going under communism. And how bad it was. And in the film, the government, he finds out, has a deal with the other government. He thinks it's probably the same government to rocket attack each other because then the government can take the public's liberties. And he figures out they blow up their own buildings to claim it's terrorist. So they have an excuse to arrest people. And he finds out it's a war against humanity. And they have gladiatorial games as well. And everybody's obsessed with the lottery, Mega Millions. because that's real, folks. That's what they really want. That's what they're really doing. Now, joining us is Patrick Henningsen, an Infowars.com investigative journalist. And he's been out in Arizona investigating fast and furious. More furious is the headline, U.S. soldiers trafficked arms, drugs to DEA agents posing as Losettas. Now, if you guys can pull it up again, the El Paso Times about drug cartels allowed to bring in tons of cocaine by ATF. All this is coming out in court because one arm doesn't know what the other arm's doing, so they'll bust these groups, or U.S. troops will get caught at the border with machine guns. They get arrested. They blow the whistle and go, I work for the government. Turns out they are working for the government, a secret op. It comes out in court. Then the government goes, well, we were just posing as Losettas. We'll put that article on screen. More furious, U.S. soldiers trafficked arms, drugs, to DEA agents posing as Losettas. What did I tell you 6 years ago with our sources? There was going to be or 7 years ago now, a massive implosion in Mexico as they knocked out the other small cartels that aren't controlled by J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Wachovia, which, by the way, it's come out now, hundreds of billions laundered by Wells Fargo, didn't get in trouble, Bloomberg, AP, Reuters. Again, this is how they operate. Just like Goldman Sachs, sex trafficking. UN, sex trafficking. Well, they have diplomatic immunity. So it's okay. And if you scroll down on the article, you can see three of the gentlemen who were reportedly hitmen with the U.S. military. What have I told you over and over again? It's mainly Army. There are tens of thousands of wet work hitmen. And it's not the Mexican mafia. It's not any of these groups. It's U.S. Army, then some Marines, then some Navy SEALs. They busted Navy SEALs trying to ship hand grenades, rocket launchers, and weapons out of Phoenix down there. Turned out they were working for the government. There's a covert war. And that's a message to you. If you work for the U.S. government, which means Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and you're caught, they're just going to say you're a drug dealer. Okay? Now, all this has come out in court. When they bust Losettas, when they bust Sinaloa, shipping in tons of cocaine, they always say, well, here's my national security letter. I work. Here's their names. And Homeland Security comes in and says, it's true, national security on the trial. And they say, that's inadmissible. You're still going to prison. And they're like, we worked for you. They're like, once you hit prison, we're going to have you shanked to death, okay? But I worked for you. I did everything. And they're like, hey, no honor among thieves. Just like the people that got caught torturing, Bush had him sent to prison, even though he'd ordered the torturing in the memos. Then he wrote a book admitting he ordered the torture. I'm going to order the torture, and if you happen to get caught doing it, raping little kids like they had him doing, that's in the handbooks now. That's what Land of the Free, Home of the Brave does, run by Goldman Sachs, is rape children with battery acid. Go read it in the Army's report. Go read it. This is the hardcore, pure evil you're dealing with. Okay, now setting up domestic checkpoints, hardened checkpoints, set to pass a bill that you can't travel, and it's going to be internally. I've read their plans. I've warned you. There are UN signs now, UN subgroups, up in baby blue and white at our green belts in Austin. The private property they're stealing has them up. They're putting fences and cameras aimed out at the invasive humans. Okay, I'm living it. 80% increase in power prices, they announced, for the earth, really just for the foreign bankers. I'm living it. You're going to live it. I'm here to break your trance. Admit it. Admit the government's not legitimate and it's pure evil. Admit it. Admit it before it's too late. Admit it. Say no. We've got to go to grassroots. We've got to start going to underground economy. We've got to start just banner hangs everywhere, info war everywhere, whatever you got to do to get the word out and shake people out of the trance. I am ordering the info warriors. If you care about your family and your life, you better launch operations peacefully and total resistance to the New World Order now. We got John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, coming up in the third hour. Right now is Patrick Henningsen joining us for this big breaking news with links to the federal court rulings and even little blurbs in mainstream media. Patrick Henningsen, incredible information. We already knew it, but here it is in plain view as we learn the government's arming the drug gangs domestically, military hit teams everywhere, mass slaughter, sex trafficking, just pure evil, 110%. Break it down for us.
this whole story, when I first stumbled across this a few days ago, it's like a rabbit hole. It's like a supermarket crime novel, only that it's actually happening. It's the most incredible thing about it. So what you've got here is a freelance hit squad made up of active duty U.S. Army and a couple of his close relations. And this is between South Carolina and Texas, okay? And this guy isn't a member of just any Army brigade. It turns out he's a member of the 4th Brigade of the 4th Infantry Group. So he's a member of the 4th Brigade Combat Team. Of the 4th Infantry Division, okay, and they're doing three year cycles together as a unit. And, you know, we all know about the opium problem in Afghanistan. You've covered it really well. In fact, between Kurt Nimmo and myself, it's really hard to find any really comprehensive writing on this subject in the last 2 years. So I've linked to some of Kurt Nimmo's research on this because, frankly, there's no one really wants to talk about it very much aside from Infowars.com and a few other outlets. But we all know about the opium. Now, this guy, Kevin Corley, arranged a 500-pound marijuana shipment, which the DEA apparently picked up early in the sting. They didn't arrest these guys. They let them drive forward. They caught the truck behind them with 500 pounds of marijuana. Okay, 500 pounds of marijuana. Okay, where the flag went up in for me is, and I can't obviously prove this, but certainly we have links with Afghanistan. Guess who the number one marijuana producing country in the world today is? Take a wild guess. It's Afghanistan. It's not Mexico. It's not Jamaica. It's Afghanistan. So.
And, of course, it wasn't until the liberation happened, and it was only 10% of opium. Now it's 92% or more of the opium, and the troops admit they grow it.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got some big Air Force, military Air Force and Army and Marine bases dotted all over the country. And we all know from Vietnam that the longer we stayed in there, in Vietnam for between 10 and 12 years, and that allowed people to make links to form relationships for certain cadres within the military to arrange their own kind of entrepreneurial activities, okay? And that's not out of the realms of possibility in this particular situation. Did this 500 pounds of pot come from Mexico, or did it come from Arizona to, say, Fort Bliss or a place like this? I can't say for sure. But I've laid this all out, Alex, because I think hopefully someone else is going to come along and put the dots together. I'm limited in what I can find out as far as
this is exactly the intel we get from these other federal cases where they let Los Zetas and Sinaloa ship cocaine in, quote, for information.
Sure. I mean, I did an article a couple of years ago, which was called Rendition, where the war on drugs meets the war on terror. And that was really centered around that whole story of the CIA rendition flight. It was a Gulfstream jet which crashed in Mexico and had something like 3 tons of pure Colombian uncut cocaine on board.
Yeah, 3.5 tons.
Yeah, and so they matched the tail numbers from this Gulfstream jet with the private air contractor to rendition flights that were going everywhere on the planet. We're talking about black sites in Eastern Europe, refueling in England and Ireland.
No, that's it. The government aircraft just land everywhere with the cocaine, heroin, little kids, and it all comes out. Just type in UN child sex trafficking, because sometimes there are good people that blow the whistle when there's huge C-130s with toddlers being loaded on, and there's always somebody who freaks out. They usually whack them real quick. So, I mean, it's just absolute pure evil.
That's what the war on terror was in the early stages of the war on terror, where they were rendering, the media made a big deal, and the liberal kind of outcry was, they're taking all these terrorists on and putting black sacks over their heads and ferrying them around the world. But it wasn't the terrorists that they were ferrying around. They were just goat herders and taxi drivers. There were drugs, kids, and God knows what on board any of those.
That's right. Stay there. The guy that wrote Jawbreaker, I had the CIA section chief on. He admitted they would only grab innocent people. And literally, it was just a prop to ship the drugs.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to have Patrick Henningsen a little bit with us into the next hour. Then I've got a bunch of other news. We're going to open the phones up. John Perkins is also joining us on this Thursday edition. A couple plugs here that tie into news items. We finally got a Roku box at our house out in the country. It's incredible. It gets every channel, movies, you name it. And PrisonPlanet.tv has been on Roku for about, I don't know, 6 months, been on Boxy a few months. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv member, we're trying to put it on all the little box top, internet TV interfaces. And my wife started like laughing when I was in the bathroom, shaving. And I said, "What?" And I walked out. And she was saying, "My gosh, look at you when you go to the site. I mean, I look like Jabba the Hutt or something. I mean, I've got like triple chins." And now, I mean, I still need to lose some more weight, but it is a night and day difference. Just an absolute night and day difference. And I did it with the same exercise I was doing previous to in the last 4 or 5 months, finally taking my own advice and using Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex, the best out there, cannot be matched. Also other great systems we promote at InfoWarsTeam.com, like Pollen Burst, Rebound, Cell Shield, all of it at InfoWarsTeam.com. You can get discounts there when you sign up to be a distributor, InfoWarsTeam.com. But the proof is in the pudding. Aaron Dykes has lost close to 90 pounds. I mean, I knew it was good and folks were using it and it was good for you, for health. They don't advertise it as weight loss. But I can eat half as much as I used to just drinking this 3 or 4 times a day. It's amazing. InfoWarsTeam.com. And your purchase also supports us, but again, you can get discounts there. Also, it's good to purify your water. I've done a lot of research and have the best gravity-fed filters out there. Just look at the specs at InfoWars.com on ProPure. We already have it the lowest discount anywhere. We get it right from the manufacturer, but we add a 10% discount on top of it when you put the promo code WATER in. Water at InfoWars.com for the Pro Pure Gravity Fed filters. And they even have special filters to cut out the fluoride, which very few filters can do, but it's a chemical process. So check that out at InfoWars.com or the super high quality vitamins and minerals at InfoWarsTeam.com. And I have a demonstration video up there on the store about the ProPure filters as well. All right, we're about to go to break. I want to keep you about 20 minutes in the next hour. Continue with this report. Because break down what's happened, how this came to light briefly. Then let's come back again into more. The latest developments on Fast and Furious.
Well, this particular federal complaint was just put online a couple of days ago, and quite a few blogs and so forth jumped on it. Now, this is a really fascinating story. You've got, obviously, a couple of active duty U.S. military. Now, something strange happened. They were due to be redeployed to Afghanistan in February, and Kevin Corley, who is one of the leaders of this gang, was discharged from Fort Carson, which is where the 4th Brigade is stationed. Now, there's no details as to why he was discharged, okay? There's also another question which looms here is that, when you lose a 500-pound consignment of narcotics and you just hand it over to the DEA and they let you drive along while they take the truck, and then he's gone back to the guys who were posing as Los Zetas, these undercover DEA agents, to do more business soon after that. So it's almost like there was no big deal. We lost 500 pounds of pot. So it makes you wonder, is there an endless supply of drugs here?
Well, that's what happens when one hand doesn't know what the other hand is happening. But they were able to give the code words, so they let him go. And again, the feds are saying these guys were involved in wet work, murder for hire services, narcotics trafficking, and stolen U.S. military weapons. Well, what do you think your bosses in the federal government are involved in? Blowing up Oklahoma City, blowing up 9/11.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, going back to investigative journalist for Infowars.com, Patrick Henningsen, who has been traveling the U.S. investigating government drug dealing. Our soldiers publicly have to guard and even help plant and give fertilizer to the Afghans to grow the opium. It's up almost tenfold. The production level from 10% to 92% is the average number. That's what the federal government predicts or estimates. Well, that's their projection, I should say. According to MSNBC, is 92%. It could be higher. Flooding the world with it. And now they just hide it in plain view. And then I've been told by military personnel and others that indeed the U.S. military is all over the border. We've seen cases where Marines, you know, shoot some innocent U.S. citizen, you know, who's herding sheep down in South Texas. This stuff happens. But you've got these guys who are active duty running around. And now the feds have actually grabbed them, though. Do we know why this is happening?
I think we can only guess at this point, but I'm telling you, this is a very bizarre operation, to say the least. So I predict there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be unearthed over the next few weeks or the next few months about this thing. But, you know, the bigger picture here, Alex, is that, you know, the mainstream media and our politicians in Washington have really made such a meal out of the whole thing of talking about the economy in terms of the stock market and in terms of derivatives and this and that. The real liquidity, Alex, and this is Catherine Austin Fitz, who's on your show many times, she pointed this out, the real liquidity, the real cash that propped up the banking sector in terms of Citibank, for one, is black market cash. And this is they're always underestimating the size of the black market, playing it down, you know, and you don't hear about it very much in the news, the real statistics. Why? Because you can't calculate the size of the black market because it's not audited, okay? But this black market is one of the most important aspects of how the kind of, you know, the slimy elements of the globalist cabal do their business.
That's right. Okay? They control it. And instead of cracking down on their narcotics and child kidnapping, they're going to go after the Amish and people selling pecans. They want that gone.
If you look at it, if you look at the global economy in terms of, let's call it a pyramid, okay, the military-industrial complex and the big Fortune 500 corporations, they'll form the base of this pyramid, okay? Then, you know, the amount of money and on paper, it's much bigger than the black market. But at the top of this pyramid is a little black capstone, okay? This is the black market. And I contend that whoever controls the black capstone of this economic pyramid can control the whole pyramid.
I agree, because that money is worth 100 times because it is black. It is secret, and it's what's used to bribe people and to then blackmail them with the black money.
The black market is really, it's the WD-40 grease that turns the wheels of power with the shadow government and also, you know, any kind of nefarious organizations the world over. This is the grease that turns the machine. Without this, you cannot pay off judges. You cannot buy silence. You cannot buy loyalty.
And you decriminalize the drugs, it is over overnight. It'll rise up like a cold sore. And that's why top drug dealers are on record saying, I love the drug war. Never get rid of it.
Yeah. In terms of drugs, child prostitution, human trafficking, vice activity, you have all kind of vested interests around the world. That's why Ron Paul is so dangerous to the establishment. One of the reasons is he wants to legalize drugs. Okay, or decriminalize drugs.
And again, that takes all the criminal element and the money out. And now poor drug heads I'll be, you know, doing it at home under supervision instead of robbing you to go buy the overpriced drugs so the big bankers get that money. Then they also put them in the private prisons owned by the drug dealers. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're talking about the phony drug war with investigative journalist from Infowars.com, Patrick Henningsen. We're working on getting Lord Monckton on dealing with the environmental power grabs going on by the green cultists who are trying to seize power and are trying to censor our videos and others. Really incredible developments on that front. But here's an article out of the Huffington Post. Lawmakers in five states tell feds to back off medical marijuana. Remember Obama promised that he was going to follow the 10th Amendment for states' rights and that he was going to back off medical marijuana if it was prescribed by doctors, which they admit. Of all the plants out there that you can get drugs from that help people, there's nothing like marijuana. And I'm not even a pot smoker. I mean, I've smoked it. I've tried it here and there. Every time I get talked into doing it, I'm like, why did I do this? It just doesn't float my boat. But regardless of that, lawmakers in five states tell feds to back off medical marijuana. The point is, when you make this stuff illegal, it drives up the price. It allows government behind the scenes to selectively enforce. It corrupts the police, just like alcohol prohibition did for the decade or 9.5 years that they had it in place. And when that ended, they made drugs illegal. You could buy cocaine, heroin at the corner drugstore, and much smaller numbers of people used it or took it. You think I'm joking? You buy six packs of Coca-Cola that, you know, had massive amounts of cocaine in it. That's why it's called Coke. So go look it up. It's hiding in plain view. They've done this to take over our society. And Patrick Henningsen was talking about the black capstone over the larger economy of the black market controlled by the big mega banks who launder the money. So when they come in with this cashless society, they're going to use it to crack down on the Amish and people selling peaches on the side of the road and lemonade stands and Girl Scout cookies, as they've now done. They don't want any of that. But the real black market, it will continue on. Patrick Henningsen, I want to ask you about this. You know, Obama said he wouldn't hire lobbyists, hired more than anybody else. Said he wouldn't torture, expanded it. Wouldn't have wars, expanded it. He said he'd have the most open government, most closed government. He'd honor whistleblowers and journalists. He's arresting them en masse. You know, NDAA, all of it. What do you make of this whole black market and where all this is going? Please continue to give us your take on this.
Well, firstly, let's just comment on Obama. I just wrote an article for InfoWars, I think 2 days ago, called Rise of the Petty Dictator. And what I did is kind of outlined, you know, Obama, who just a few days ago called the Supreme Court a unelected group of people, and then it kind of listed all his executive orders. If he is elected in a second term, he will actually surpass George Bush's amount of executive orders. I mean, it's record breaking
stuff.
And
I want to interrupt you because I'm glad, you know, I'm so conditioned to live in this tyranny. I know they're tyrants. I know they're building FEMA camps. I know they're getting ready to set up checkpoints everywhere and now announcing it. So as it happens now, I don't even make a big deal out of things that I used to. It's actually working on me. I'm weakening. And so I'm announcing that publicly so that we can all understand it's happening to us and resist it and redouble our efforts. But I forgot. He came out and said, oh, they're just unelected. They're nobody. Sort of listing his executive orders. That was a open threat. Even mainline pundits said it, that he may ignore it, just like he ignored Congress when they said no to carbon taxes. I mean, this is really happening.
I mean, many a constitutional law scholar had their jaws hanging around their ankles after a president who claims to have taught constitutional law would make such a statement. But that we've become used to this after 4 years of this president.
Yeah, he told Congress take a hike on the war.
Just like we became used to George W. Bush's shredding of the Constitution with his gang of neoconservatives over 8 years. The federal government, clearly, the amount of money they spend on things like Fast and Furious that end up killing people, the amount of waste Another solar company was just gone bankrupt. It took a $2.1 billion guaranteed federal loan only a few days ago, another green project. They're just wasting money left, right, and center. And meanwhile, they will come at gunpoint to collect $100 worth of overdue federal income tax. So I think the federal government has kind of grown out of control, and this country is at a major crossroads right now. If we don't do something as people or as states, exert their states' rights, for instance, we're going to slide into tyranny, and we won't even know it. We're already there, actually, if you really look at things the way things have rolled out on paper. We're already in tyranny right now, but I think it can get really worse. That some of the things you mentioned early in the show about withholding passport privileges, that's crazy. I mean, the Soviet Union would do such things. Red China wouldn't even attempt such a thing. You know, why is the United States pushing so hard?
And by the way,
fast?
It's past the Senate. It's going to the House, and it's CBS News. And they're now saying internal checkpoints, you won't be able to travel or have a job if you're not in good standing. You've heard of no-fly list? How about a no-buy food list or a no-travel list or a no-have-a-job list? Folks, I'm not predicting this and then it comes true. In their white papers that we've sourced and quoted, they have said this is the plan. How did I know they're going to have hardened checkpoints that they now have, including bulletproof ones? That's in the news today. Because they announced it. It's an armed camp where the criminals take over and have us all at gunpoint. That's what a tyranny is.
It really became apparent when I spent a lot of time outside of the United States, as well as living and growing up here. When I came back a couple months ago, just before I came to see you in Austin, you start turning on the TV, and I didn't realize the overwhelming onslaught. It's like a full-court press when you turn on the television. And to hear this president talking on a daily basis, I really felt kind of oppressed in the fact that I'm looking around and saying, why isn't anybody upset about this? Why are people not...
Exactly.
You know,
I was watching The Expendables this morning on the treadmill, you know, a cheesy action adventure film that Stallone produced, because I found that's the best thing to watch when I'm jogging. And normally I wouldn't watch mindless stuff like that, but it's actually good when I'm jogging. I can jog harder, longer, faster, kind of get into it. But I was watching a supposed third world country with oppression, and it was America. It was everything they're starting here, and they were describing a horrible police state in Latin America, and that's where I live. And all we have left is the old free speech and the Second Amendment, and now they say they're coming after that, and Obama, through MSNBC, is openly trying to cause a race war, editing tapes of the Zimmerman guy to make it sound like he's racist. I mean, it's even though we know it, Patrick, it's still amazing that these are real criminals. I mean, we have real criminals in charge now.
I mean, I stood there watching the press conference on the White House lawn 2 days ago with President Obama, President Calderon of Mexico, and Stephen Harper from Canada. And I listened to President Calderon lecture the American people on the fact that it's because of our guns that are going over the border that are killing people on the border towns along Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. Somehow ignoring the whole fact that 30,000 guns were shipped down in Operation Fast and Furious, which was directed by the Department of Justice.
Which is
supposed to be protecting the American people. And these are causing the deaths, not gun manufacturers and gun dealers who are doing legitimate business in America. But the flip of it, right in your face, with Obama standing next to him and probably Eric Holder in the back behind the door smiling. I can't conceive the hypocrisy. The level of it is unbelievable.
Well, no, exactly. And we said this would happen when Judicial Watch sued and got the SPP documents. They just got new documents where it confirms what police were already saying. They just release the illegals and give them a waiver form. Again, the government selectively enforces. But getting back to this, they said in the SPP documents that from 2006, Judicial Watch sued and got in 2007, that are so important. It said we're going to use border security crises to merge the three countries. We're going to use the flu and economic collapse. And they go on to say, we've got to keep this secret from the public. And it's corporate chiefs there giving all the leaders of the countries orders. Here's the corporate government. Thousands of pages I scanned over. I put the most powerful ones in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And then here they are. 3 years ago, before Fast and Furious even broke, I said they're shipping guns to Mexico under programs, some of it had already leaked, to blame the Second Amendment later. And then even when they get caught doing it, they still go ahead with it. And here's the head of a narco-terrorist state lecturing the American people on our Second Amendment right when he's disarmed his poor people. I mean, this is incredible what we've been brought to.
And the other thing is, people should not be naive. Okay, when you have a military industrial complex in this country that's grown to such proportions, because we're deploying troops all over the world in the thousands daily. Okay, and throughout history, whenever a military or police state grows to a certain size, it itself within the military will become very corrupt. I used to have a friend from Uganda who is a part of the Ugandan army under Idi Amin. He was a dishwasher in London, worked in a restaurant when I first moved there to study. And he told me stories of that he would, for cash, him and his buddies in his unit would take arms out of the stockade, which was the government military stockade, and they would sell arms to the Lord's Resistance Army for cash, okay? The same thing in the Soviet Union. Half of the global black market after 1991, that flooded Africa and flooded Asia was ex-Soviet stockpiles, because their military industrial complex was just too big and
too
out of control.
They always eat their own country. That's what happened in Rome. The military ate its own country, and they couldn't keep the barbarians out. And that's the thing. The criminality's reached such proportions that it's going to bring the whole system down, because no one can stop anybody. It's just mad stealing everywhere.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Patrick Henningsen, I want to come back and play a clip of Geraldo Rivera going, well, they do it to fight Al-Qaeda. They grow the opium. And the troops are like, yeah, we don't like it, but it's what we got to do. Again, they have to hide it in plain view now. Hey, if you're patriotic, grow some schmack.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
A few minutes left with Patrick Henningsen, and Lord Monson's joining us with hardcore breaking news. Agenda 21 is happening right here in Austin, making headlines. But if you just type in U.S. troops growing opium in Afghanistan, you'll get BBC, ABC, AP, Reuters Video, CBS, NBC, Fox, Sky News, and it's all the same script. Because the troops were 3 years ago starting to mutiny over the fact that they were growing opium, loading it on trucks, flying it out. And this all started coming out. They had to kill Pat Tillman over it, and that kind of got embarrassing. He was writing letters home, getting ready to go public. So instead they said, hey, hide it in plain view. Well, we hate it, but Al-Qaeda will make the money if we don't grow it. And so here is Geraldo Rivera. This all came out in a one-month period because they've gotten slicker. Instead of just denying it, they're like, yeah, we grow the opium, and we're going to put you in a private prison owned by our banks that bring it in if we catch you using it. You see how they get money on both ends? Good businessmen. Of course, we're naive idiots, so that's why we live like this. Let's go to a part of this clip and get Patrick Henningsen's take on it. Here it is.
Geraldo, tell us what you've seen during your days there in Afghanistan.
Hi, Allison, Dave, and Clayton. Yes, in some ways, the Marines' brilliantly executed invasion of Marja, this town in the middle of Helmand province, was the easy part. The hard part now is governing this province, a province, as you suggest, that has become addicted to opium in many, many ways. That is the principal
Oh, see, it's part of the hard decision they've got to govern. It's tough, but we do what we have to win. Let's go back to the clip. Here it is.
That is being grown here. The Taliban lend the farmers the money. They are indebted to the Taliban. They have to grow the opium. Now the Marines, in their success, are in a sense a victim of their success, because now the population is, you know, they have these opium fields, and we are tolerating it. We are tolerating the cultivation of the
10% of world supply pre-2001, now 92% or higher. Government's own numbers. They're not tolerating it. The Taliban wasn't letting them grow it. Oh, but the Taliban's doing it. That was one group of real Taliban who, by the way, knew bin Laden was the CIA. That came out, who weren't letting it happen. I'm not saying they were good guys, but they were not allowing the cultivation of it. And so there was an invasion. Let's go back to the clip.
Opium, because we know that if we were to destroy it now, the population would turn against the Marines and it would be a real security risk. Let me introduce Lieutenant Colonel Brian Christmas. He's the commanding officer of the 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines. Really a wonderful group of Marines here. I know that you care deeply about this this contradiction, the fact that here you have one of the best fighting forces in the world ever mounted, and in a sense, you're watching as this opium.
You're there for the opium.
It grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do. We provide them security. We're providing them resources. And we're providing them alternatives. And the alternatives are different crops to grow. They're getting the seed and the fertilizer to do it. They can rotate any of their crops that they want. If they
want to
get rid of their wheat and grow cotton for the winter.
We provide them other crops. That's why the crop's up almost tenfold. But again, when you use it, you go to a jail. This is how they've made slavery legal. 7.1 million people. I said 6 million yesterday. I looked it up. It's 7.1 mil now in prison, double what China has. And on record, of the three or four big companies, they're subsidiaries of banks that launder drug money. So let me explain how this works. They make it illegal to drive the price up. So your daughters sell themselves, people rob you for the money, so the banks can get bigger profits. Then they get the zombies that use it, throw them in the jails, the prisons working to build widgets to drive down our wages on the outside. You think China takes your jobs? How about 7.1 mil? Closing comments on this, Patrick Henningsen.
Yeah, the important thing is if Americans can take anything from this information and just switch a little light on in their head, and frankly, I don't know how Geraldo Rivera earns $5 million a year or $10 million a year to have absolutely zero brain activity going on. But when the Taliban got their award from the United Nations in 2000 for they did a fatwa on opium. Okay, and this idea of the Taliban uses the opium to fund their insurgency is just a little bit of propaganda that's been seeded like a meme into the minds of the West by people like Tony Blair and so forth. And the fact, just look at the 700 tons before 2001 exported, and now 8,000 tons by the latest calculation, which was done in 2009, you're talking about, 1,000% increase or something like this. And that's just what we have on record, okay? There is a correlation.
But the Marines have got to grow it for America and take the cancer virus shots because they support America. And if you support America, you grow the opium. Patrick Henningsen of Infowars.com, great job. Lord Christopher Monckton coming up straight ahead. Great job, my friend. We'll get more on your reports on the government hit teams in the next few days. Well, YouTube is now banning videos critical of global warming alarmism. And some people would say, well, they're their own private website. And so, that's their right. Well, if they were a video website about fishing or hunting or skateboarding, and they said our terms of use are you can post videos about hunting or skateboarding, that would be an issue. But they call it YouTube, something Google bought 6 years ago that was about the communities and free speech and about not being evil. And YouTube, run by Google with all its Obama administration connections to the intelligence community, over the weekend, dimmed the screens to black for Earth Hour. At first, it was voluntary and you had a switch, and then later it just froze to black for a while where you didn't have the choice. That's how it always works. That's how they always do it. And we have about 8 different channels that are our official channels. Altogether, I've done an analysis. It's about 600 plus million views in the last 3 years on there. We've got XM channel 166. We've got over 100 AM and FM affiliates. We're number one in the audio streams at Shoutcast, not just for talk radio, but period. We've just been on Roku for about 5-6 months. We're now number one in news there. Wherever we're able to compete, we win. Because in the market of ideas, the truth and liberty and freedom trumps a bunch of sniveling control freaks who sit up on their mountain and always tell us what reality is and lecture us. Now, I occasionally do some satire, and I just did a joking piece as I introduced Mark Moreno of Climate Depot, pointing out that she says that we're all mentally ill, this professor, that if we believe in natural changes in the earth and that it's not man-made. She said that we need to be treated. And I've gone and found some of her other writings saying, don't wait for public consensus on climate change, just do it. Praising John P. Holdren, who, of course, calls for sterilants in the water. I mean, they didn't expunge everything on the university site. We found more, but they've since memory-holed a lot of it and are now acting like she never said it. Now I'm seeing articles where they're saying that she never even said that. We're now making it up. So no end to this. Well, they went in. This has only happened a few other times in the history of my YouTube channel, the official Alex Jones channel with 193 million views. They went in and they put a community strike and said, YouTube has reviewed it. We may even shut down your entire site now. But for now, this video is erased. And in the video, I simply showed a graphic of her in a straitjacket as a joke saying that we're crazy. She's a public figure. I happen to know the law. I've even called my lawyer yesterday. I am looking, because I've had enough. I'm not litigious, but I've had enough with her saying we're racist also in her paper. So she's saying we're racist because we don't want to cut the power off to Africa. Okay, we're racist. And these other professors say we should be arrested. Lord Monckton needs to be arrested. All of this. I go in there and joke about her and, show a photo of her where she does. The point is I had a little fun. And they said that's a thought crime. I cannot now make fun of public figures. So when I sue them, when I sue Google and the rest of them, it's going to be for discrimination and violations of terms of service, unfair trade practices, false advertising. Because I go and give them, I mean, they make a ton of money off the ads there that they place on my videos, even though I don't take ads on there. Because that gives them control. They still place them on there. They make a ton of money out of 600 million views. I've done the math. That's conservatively just in the click program if I would have shared it with them, and actually $500,000 the last 3 years. And that's my 30% I would have gotten. I just didn't take the ads because I didn't want to be part of a business arrangement with them. Okay? So they still place ads. So 70% more of that. We're talking over $1 million. I give them this value. I'm number one in Austin, number one in Orlando. I can keep listing the cities on the radio. I have a number one radio show, okay, wherever I'm at. I give them number one content, follow their terms of service, and they defraud me and go along with somebody saying I'm a racist and I'm a hater because I make fun of these people. Nothing about race in the joke. And now they're looking at shutting one of our whole channels down. And then in the past, when they've done that, they've shut down the other channels till I go and file against them and defeat it. The point is that I don't relish suing this behemoth. And I know they don't care. They've got government backing. But the point is we've got to stand for the First Amendment or no one is going to have free speech as this iron curtain of tyranny descends. Now, Lord Monckton will be with us 30 minutes in the next hour joining us on video Skype. But I hadn't talked about this yet today, and I wanted to discuss it now. What's going on with this Professor Carrie Nogard? And I have just had enough of this assistant professor of sociology and environmental studies, because it's not just her saying we're mentally ill or racist. It's all of them. And we have a big article on this at Infowars.com. The threat of green fascism is the title, where they say arrest us, where they say shut us down, ban our speech. White House regulations are. Cass Sunstein says fine us, fee us, censor us, arrest us. This is pure authoritarianism. Okay, and now they've shut the video down and are saying that you cannot criticize a public figure. This is outrageous. She can call us racist. She can say we're mentally ill. And she says so. She says so, so it's so. And then we can't do this. And now the university is saying she never said that, even though it's in her paper that she says we need to be treated. And that's a standard thing with them, that we're criminals or we're mentally ill. And I know Lord Monckton can chronicle their examples of this. He has been beat up. He has been thrown out by the UN. You try to talk to Al Gore, you get roughed up at UN events. These are dangerous people. The UN is in Uganda and also in Central America on record killing people. This is in the New York Times, to get their land for carbon sinks. We have Agenda 21 outside Austin. I'm going to get to it at the start of the next hour. Lord Monckton, that's a long preface intro. But, you know, I tell you, they just think they're anointed and they think their authoritarianism doesn't stink. What do you say, Lord Monckton, one of the leading experts heading up your center that researches these people? All of your research has been proven correct. So now they're calling for shutting us up.
I think that puts it very bluntly and very correctly, Alex. They are running scared. If I could just review what the climate has been doing over the last few years. We've just had, literally 2 days ago, figures from the Hadley Center and the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. These people have now admitted that there's been no statistically significant global warming for 15 years. Likewise, the most accurate sea level satellite that we have had up there for a few years is the Aviso Envisat satellite. That shows sea level over the last 8 years since that satellite first went up, rising at a rate of equivalent to 1.3 inches per century. The Florida State University's index of the activity of hurricanes, tropical cyclones, and typhoons around the world, that shows the lowest level of hurricane activity in 30 years since the satellites were first watching. The sea ice extent just today is greater for this time of year than it has been at almost any time since the 1979, when again the satellites were first able to watch, and the spring has come a month late up there. It's very, very cold up there. That's why we've had it warm down here. So all their big storylines about how terrible it's all going to be are falling apart. Polar bears, another one, just today, an important report out showing that the population of polar bears continues to grow as it has since the 1940s. This is not the profile of a species in imminent threat of extinction.
Well, they're actually a scourge, as you know, invading green areas and attacking people and invading their homes.
Absolutely. They're now becoming very aggressive and intrusive because there are so many of them and they can't get enough food in these very, very cold conditions, unusually cold conditions in the Arctic. So they increasingly invade the human settlements in Greenland and Canada. So these are the actual realities of the climate. And it is quite clear that what they predicted would happen isn't happening. And in fact, if we look back on this now, Alex, you and I have been at this for some time, but the UN's climate panel, the IPCC, produced its first report in 1990, and that, of course, is a generation ago. So shall we have a look at how their prediction of global temperature has got on? They gave a high end, a medium end, and a low end prediction. And yes, there has been warming since 1990, but not very much. It's actually below even the low-end prediction of the IPCC. They've got every single forecast that they've ever done wrong. Every single one of these forecasts was exaggerated.
Plus the studies I've seen that you've covered, and you're listing real facts here. They'll just say peer-reviewed, but you have admitted facts. They're not denying it. A little bit of warming is actually good. Plus this gaggle of nuts said that we were going to be in an ice age by the 90s back in the 70s.
That's right. So what they want to do is they know they can get grants and attention and grow their little bureaucratic empires and academic empires by pretending there's a problem. It doesn't matter which direction the problem they pretend is, as long as they can all agree on telling the same story. Well, first of all, they tried to tell the story of global cooling, whereupon global warming began. Then the global warming stopped. And they can't change gear. They can't go back to global cooling or everybody will laugh at them. They can't pretend that global warming is happening because for 15 years, on their own figures, on the figures of the cheerleaders for this whole scare, it isn't happening. And so now they're increasingly forced back onto these rather desperate expedients, one of which, we'll come on to Norgard in just a minute. I want to do one more before that. I came across this when I was addressing the Law Society of Ireland in Galway a few weeks ago. They produced a graph, you'll see it on the left-wing websites too, showing there have been many periods over the last 150 years since we kept global temperature records when there's been 10 or 15 years without any global warming, like the last 10 or 15 years. Now, of course, what they don't realise when they show that that is the case is that the fact exercises a very great constraint on the rate at which warming is occurring or could occur. So, yes, we are getting a little warming. You'd expect to see a little warming over the long term if you add lots of CO2 to the atmosphere. But the point is, it's not going to be very much. It's not going to be alarming. And even if it was, as I said to the California state legislature just a week ago, it's in their case, it's about 30 times cheaper to sit back, go surfing and enjoy the sunshine and adapt to the adverse consequences of any warming than it is to follow policies like California's Bill AB32 and build all those windmills in the Altamont Pass to kill all the golden eagles and hawks and kites that they're killing by the thousand every year. These are environmentally damaging projects. But the fact is, it's vastly cheaper, even if the warming was going to be as bad as they say it is, to do nothing. And that brings me on to Professor Norgard. And I'm sorry that I, too, have kind of come crabwise around the subject, because I wanted to put what she is saying into context. What you have just heard from me, Alex, is not something insane. I have merely cited data and fact after data after fact and graphs and charts and equations and figures, all of which you can verify, you can check. I'm not making them up. So why, in any rational world where free speech was allowed, would I not be allowed to tell the truth? And would I instead be accused of being some kind of a nutter? And this, after all, and let's be very blunt about this, this is what they used to do in Nazi Germany and in Stalin's Russia. If they didn't like your point of view, then what they did was they said, right, we're going to send you away to the Gulag to be re-educated, because you are suffering from a mental illness, the mental illness of not agreeing with the totalitarian dictatorial.
And let me just add, it's not just her. I mean, there are so many of them, when I went back and looked last night, who say re-educate, arrest, drug, that she's just going along with what is standard when she says treat us. I mean, they're calling for an authoritarianism. Al Gore is saying they've got to force it on us now. He said that 2 weeks ago in Austin at South by Southwest.
I think this is it. They are terrified now that because the facts, the actual unfolding climate, is not happening as they and those whom they have been quoting said it would, they are now terrified. And so they're trying to do what is always done by the left in these circumstances, to shout down any opposition with threats of arrest and international climate courts. If you go back to the Durban Climate Conference just last December, the UN's conference there, the members of all the world's nations were there. The only person who revealed that in that major negotiating document was a proposal to establish an international climate court to which only Western people could be brought in front of was me. The rest of the world's journalists were silent about it because they're beginning to become embarrassed.
And by the way, they had a police officer attack you for no reason on video, at the Copenhagen event.
That was very stupid of him because my back was turned to him at the time and I was walking away. So that was silly too. And he had lost his temper because he'd been listening to me talking with my mates. I wasn't even talking to him about the climate for 3 hours because so badly organized was it. We were left standing in this bitter sub-zero cold.
But he showed you how to, again, shut him up. How dare you have free speech? Bam!
So I was knocked to the ground, and he said, you're one of the nastiest people I've ever come across. And I said, I haven't even talked to you. I was talking very friendly way to my friends, but that's the way it is now. You see, these people, Alex, don't have religion. They don't believe in anything until now. Now they've got religion, or fact, superstition, of course, a superstition being a religion that you can prove isn't true. And they've got superstition. They don't realize they've got religion.
No, it's their religion. That's why Al Gore's like, shut them up. I mean, they're now saying, shut people up.
The danger is they don't realize they've got it. See, you and I, Alex, we belong to the Christian faith. We know where we stand. But they don't have a rite of initiation that says, formerly you were not a global warming believer and now you are. So they don't realize that they've got religion. They actually think that they're being rational in demanding, as Norgaard is said to have done in that press release issued by her own University of Oregon, that not only society as a whole, but individuals should be treated because of their views on global warming. The word treated was there, I know, because I went and checked. I wrote to Professor
Norgaard. No, we have the copy. But, I mean, they have TV ads for kids where they blow children up and kill them. Yeah, I mean, over in England, as you know, if you don't go along with it. This is all they ever talk about. It's part of a larger tapestry. But let's expand on this. They have not removed this. Carrie Norgaard, assistant professor, and it goes on. She says, listen to your science advisor. She wrote this. Fortunately, you have made an excellent choice in commissioning Harvard physicist and Nobel Peace Prize recipient John Holdren as your science advisor. So here she is in a letter to Obama that's public. Of course, he's not a Peace Prize winner. He's not a Nobel Prize winner, period. Of course, he is for drugging the water supply to sterilize us. And she goes on to say, don't wait for public consensus on climate change. This is a public letter. And she goes, public opinion does matter in democracy, but this is a time when following it would be a serious mistake. So here she is calling for an end to freedom. We'll be back with Lord Christopher Monckton of scienceofpublicpolicy.org.
Why the unions are big business men, and they're going out like dinosaurs.
I want to thank John Rappaport, who sits in for us sometimes, investigative journalist at nomorefakenews.com. He sent this to us, and Paul Watson's getting it out right now. This will be breaking, just like we broke it last week, that she says treat us. She tried to back off. Here she is doing work for another university. And we've saved it in case they take it down. And Paul Watson's got the article, Whitman College. Carrie Norgaard, assistant professor of sociology, environmental studies. This is 3 years ago when Obama's first getting in. She says, listen to your science advisor. And she goes on to say, don't wait for public consensus on climate change. This is written by her. I have you now. And stop shutting my videos down. Public opinion does matter in democracy, but this is a time when following it would be a serious mistake. Two factors make public understanding of climate change unusually complex. And she goes on to say, shut it down dictatorially. Shut down coal. She says, right here. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, scroll down where she says, shut down coal, shut down everything. Folks, that's what he's doing. Congress says no, he just does it. China gets three new ones a week, we get them shut down. We're going into a depression. Lord Monckton, this is breaking. I got this an hour ago, we vetted it, we checked, this is her, she did it. Unbelievable, sir. This is even bigger than saying treat us. What do you make of this latest outrage?
It is indeed an outrage. And I think, Alex, the fact that you have been taken off YouTube is also an outrage. And the fact that they've been taking me off YouTube slowly for many years by various devices. And it is quite clear that what we are dealing with now is a very rapid march towards the sort of totalitarianism that Hitler practiced in Germany, and that Stalin practiced in Russia, and that Mao practiced in China, and that Pol Pot practiced in Cambodia. What we're now getting, and Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam while I think of it, what we're now getting is the same things happening here. It's the same political forces, the people who think that they know best. Let's just examine that letter by Norgaard that you're referring to. The first thing is, does she have any more qualifications than you or I, Alex, to write and say that climate change is a uniquely dangerous thing that people are incapable of understanding for themselves? No, she is some kind of a sociologist, and by all accounts, a very bad one.
And again, look at the arrogance. She says, we must get rid of democracy and freedom because the public is stupid. No, I built my operation out of nothing. Lord Monckton has had big companies he built himself. You live in a government reservation, and you're telling us we're idiots? You are the idiot.
That, I think, is fair comment, and I think also it's fair comment that if she has absolutely no knowledge of the science behind this, she might at least have tried to study it a bit before coming out with these pronouncements. You see, Alex, when I first began looking at this, I went and talked to the scientists on both sides. I wanted to hear what the science really said. I wanted to understand the economics for myself. I sweated the numbers for myself before I started shooting my mouth off on this. It took me 6 months before I said anything.
So did I. I spent years before I even ventured.
Know what this was about. Now, she clearly hasn't got the faintest clue. I imagine what letter she should now be writing. She should be writing saying, Dear President Obama, there are many problems you have to deal with, not the least of which is a massive and very rapidly growing public debt. So the first thing is the government shouldn't be spending money on climate change, given that there isn't any at the moment. And likewise, nor should the private sector be made to pay by not being allowed to buy cheap coal-fired electricity unless they're lucky enough to be able to buy it from China. You know, this is what is so absurd about what's going on. These people are absolutely intent on closing down America in particular and the West in general. I do not recall, Alex, having heard that Professor Norgaard has written to the Chinese government saying that their declared policy, you'll find it in the annual statistical communiques of the People's Republic of China, issued in Peking every year, of building two or three new coal-fired power stations a month, is...
Stay there.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There's a 40-minute talk I did with Mark Moreno, congressional advisor on climate change, the guy that heads up climatedepot.com at infowars.com, discussing the other videos that YouTube has taken down because I'm not allowed to criticize a woman who says, get rid of freedom, get rid of my votes, I don't count, I'm too stupid, I need to be treated. I mean, we've got more of her letters on her official site saying it, but they control reality. Now they've come out and said, she never said that. So I'm supposed to say, okay, I'll shut up. Because after all, you're this almighty person. And I've been around these so-called academics that call themselves on the left. They are so arrogant. And I'm not even into the whole left-right paradigm. There's problems on the so-called right. But there's something about the left where they always talk about, I hear them on talk radio, about how stupid everyone is and how smart they are. And it's amazing that they live off of the tax money I pay. No government handouts here, and then sit around all day and talk about how I'm mentally ill, I'm racist, and I need to have my rights taken away because democracy is bad, in her words, and that I need to do what she says. This person, I mean, and then I'm not even allowed to criticize her. I know I'm ranting or Moncton, I'm sorry. I'm just very angry about them shutting my videos down. It is a serious violation. This is 21st century book burning.
First of all, you are right, and I think that's a great phrase, 21st century book burning. That is exactly what it is. These are people who have lost and lost and lost the argument. Every single point they said would come to pass, it's gone the other way. Every single piece of analysis they've done is full of more holes than a piece of Gruyere cheese. They don't know what they're talking about, and now they've realized it, and so their way of covering up for their own ineptitude, incompetence, and plain malice against the West in trying to shut it down in the name of this bogus scare is to silence all criticism. And, of course, Google, and who sits on the board? Al Gore, of course. Google owns Yahoo.com. YouTube is now is shutting down. Videos like yours, many videos like mine.
No, I've seen yours shut down, and they'll use all sorts of little excuses.
They will. They just absolutely hate the idea of freedom of expression. They hate to admit that the left, having decided this was going to be its defining issue, this was going to be the issue that at last allowed them to shut the West down, they've now realized it's gone wrong far more quickly than even they had suspected it would. They are acutely embarrassed because they know, Alex, and I think I may have said this to you before, I'm going to say it again, this could be the end of the left. They know this. They bet the farm on this global warming scare. They put all their resources, I mean literally tens of millions a year, into propaganda. If you just look at the biggest...
Yeah, what's the total number? It's like $100 billion globally or something they've spent on this?
Well, I mean, if you just take the 10 biggest environmental organizations in the U.S., they spent between them $2 billion last year, most of it on climate propaganda as an excuse for trying to shut the West down. That's the kind of money they are spraying around. And, of course, there's a lot of genuine environmentalists. Some of them may be listening to this. Some of them who really do care about the environment, who realize there are real environmental problems. Deforestation, overfishing of the world's oceans, a really pressing problem. Many species will have gone in 20 years if we don't do something about that. And these are things that could be and should be solved by international cooperation in a sensible way. But this climate scare is diverting attention away from the real environmental problems. It's the left-wing wet dream. They had thought they could get away with what they couldn't do with all the guns and goose-stepping troops, first of Hitler and then of Stalin and Mao. They thought they could shut the West down from within.
All right, Lord Monckton, stay there. Long segment coming up. I want to get in to finishing up your story about China's power plants. You got cut off before the last break. I want to talk about real environmental threats because I agree with you. The overfishing, that's a real thing. Toxic waste dumping. Stay there. We'll be right back on the other side.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
If I sound breathless, it's because I am. 16, 17 years ago when I first got on air, I began to research Agenda 21, UN biospheres. In fact, guys, for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, put the congressional map of Agenda 21 zones up, please. That's the Dr. Michael Kaufman congressional map. It shows half the U.S. off limits in these environmental corridors, like something out of feudalism. And the UN even says in Biological Diversity Assessment in 96, they want to go back to feudalism. And we've got all these professors and academics saying rationing, authoritarianism. They say fascism isn't bad when it's green fascism. Now, that's a Senate vote map, 21, where they want to not let you travel now if you haven't paid all your income taxes. It's the Dr. Michael Kaufman UN map. And that will bring it up, we showed in the first hour. Now, Lord Christopher Monckton, who heads up, well, there's no doubt, globally, the premier aggregator of the scientific data proving what's really happening with our planet, with the real scientists, the real satellites. He's the guy, 9 times out of 10, that is forecasting and exposing these people way out ahead. So they've called for his arrest, you name it. And he joins us now. But expanding on that, they have expunged all the universities she's spoken at or that she's worked at, except for Whitman College 3.5 years ago when she was commending Obama for appointing John P. Holdren, who's also called for a global tyranny and drugging the water to sterilize us and praising authoritarianism like Dr. Pianca does at UT. I mean, this is who they are. It's not like this is some oddball we found. We have it. We have it. The university pulled what she'd written about treating us for mental illness and said that it was a mistake. And now we find this. Don't wait for public consensus. A public letter. She says, public opinion does matter in democracy, but this is a time when following it would be a serious mistake. Two factors make public understanding of climate change unusually complex. She goes on to say we're stupid. And then it says eliminate coal. All of this stuff, she says, we can't do what the public wants. This is even 3.5 years ago. They knew they were losing momentum and failing because of their power grab. Lord Monckton, what do you make of this? This is a huge discovery that the little poster girl that they're defending, it turns out, is an open authoritarian.
That's no surprise because so many, particularly in sociology, which is a non-subject, which I would personally ban from all universities, if I were an authoritarian, that is, these people think that they know better than we do. This is the essence of totalitarianism. They say they know, they are so much sure that they know better than us that they want to tell us every little detail of our lives. No, you can't burn coal in the grate or in a power station. No, you can't light a candle, it gives off carbon dioxide. No, you can't even go back to being a caveman, because that means lighting a fire in your cave, and that emits carbon dioxide. What you've got to do is just die and stop breathing, because breathing emits carbon dioxide as well. It's this childish, persistent, stupid, intellectually vapid arrogance which is the hallmark of the totalitarian everywhere. And if you call them totalitarians or fascists or communists or international socialists or whatever phrase also means totalitarianism, oh, how they blub. I once let slip in Australia that a remark by somebody over there was a fascist opinion. I didn't even call the guy a fascist. I just said he'd expressed a fascist opinion. And, oh, my goodness, how the left wailed and howled when I arrived in Australia for a speaking tour last year. The West Australian in Perth, where I landed, on the front page said, "Ban the Lord." That's their instinctive reaction. Every time you use their kind of language back, they want to ban us from saying it, but they want to continue to have the freedom to use this language themselves. So there's a poisonous double standard there. And this Professor Norgaard, the fact is that if she had wanted to deal with what happened in a professional way, let us suppose that her original paper, as she now claims, didn't contain anything about the treatment of individuals who had this mental disease of not believing that global warming is a global crisis. Let's suppose that she was true in that. I'm not going to argue that for the moment at this point. The fact is that her university, in a press release, which I read while it was still up on the web, said that she, in her paper, it was their press release describing what she had done, they had cleared it with her before it was put up there, said very clearly that this must be recognised and treated in individuals as well as in societies as a whole. That's what it said. And then when I spotted that, I wrote to her a very polite letter, and I said, "Look, Professor, I don't know whether you said this or not, but the university is saying that you did, or at least it is accused of saying that you did," because I hadn't yet seen the university press release then. I looked at it again afterwards. I said, "If that is what they're saying, could you please get it changed? Because this does give a very bad impression, and it's taking us back to the era of Hitler and Stalin." It was a very polite letter, and I added for good measure a few points about why global warming really wasn't a global crisis after all. And the thing is, I got no reply. What she should have done is to write back and say, "Thank you for writing in such a civilized fashion to point out what appeared on the press release. I hadn't noticed this. I've asked the university to change it, and they're going to put up a new version." And that would have quietened the whole matter down in a perfectly straightforward way. But no, the left can never admit they ever got anything wrong. So she didn't do that. Instead, furtively, the university, without, it hoped, leaving any trace, took out the words "and treated" in the press release that was up, the University of Oregon, and that those words no longer appear.
But Lord Monckton, let me stop you. Let me stop you here, because this is...
First, I must finish this, because there is a Google cache of the earlier version of the page, and that proves that the words were there. The university didn't realize that in doing this furtively, it was going to make itself look just like another third world dictatorship. And what these people have got to learn is they've got to learn that, in fact, in civilized open debate, there has to be a kind of modicum of honesty, which these people have long since abandoned. And that's why nobody listens to them anymore.
Well, that was my point, though, is that you're being very kind here, saying, you know, perhaps, but look, they've expunged all her writings. The one writing we find on a university written by her, a letter to the president, officially her site, says we need to get rid of people's rights on this and do whatever we want. And we know this drug, treat, re-educate is constantly parroted by the entire gaggle. So she spews a talking point that we've seen ad nauseum by other control freaks, other greeny, you know, authoritarians. And then we find another thing they haven't memory-holed yet, and it says the same stuff. So, obviously she said it.
I think the point is that the way I like to approach these people is to be very polite to them privately and say, "Look, something's gone wrong here. Maybe you'd like to put it right." Then if they're sensible, they write back and they say, "Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. Of course I didn't mean that," and change it. But she didn't write back to me. And that tells me all I need to know about what her true intentions were. Because I didn't write a nasty email. It was entirely friendly, civilized, sensible. I'll send you a copy of it after this, Alex, and you can put it up on your website. Because it makes very sensible points, not only about her, but also the main points about why we don't have a problem with the climate. And even if we did, there's nothing we can afford to do about it. It's much better not to worry about it and just let it happen. It won't be that damaging with sea level rising at 1.3 inches per century, etc. So I think what we have to do is to say very firmly to these people, we are now on your case. If you come out and demand international climate courts or European criminal climate courts, they're actually talking about that in Europe at the moment. Of course, I'm trying to stop that too. If you go on talking about having people sent to psychiatric institutions and treated for mental illness, if they dare to raise perfectly legitimate scientific and economic questions rooted in the science, then it is you who deserve to be locked up and not them. And I'm going to make a proposal here, Alex. I think we're going to need a law which says that anybody who uses that kind of hate speech about having people treated for mental illness, if they dare to disagree with the official so-called consensus, which of course is just the Communist Party line, then I think anyone who says that should themselves be locked up in prison for hate speech, for discrimination against those who wish to exercise the right of free speech.
Yes, sir. Well, Lord Monckton, because that's not a violation of their speech, because they're calling for sedition against our liberties and our freedom, a revolutionary overthrow of the Magna Carta, of all common sense, of everything that has been the hallmark of free societies. When they're saying arrest people for their speech, that is the authoritarianism. They're saying shut us up for our scientific discussion, and we see this in every authoritarian system. Absolutely. I mean, what they're calling for is a criminal takeover, is an end of, quote, democracy, in her words. I mean, that is a declaration of war against all free society.
Let me tell you the story of Trofim Denisovich Lysenko. Now, he, in the 1940s and 50s, he was a peasant. He was somebody who thought he knew about how to improve the yield of crops. And his idea was you soak the seed corn in water over the winter instead of planting it out in the autumn to get used to the cold weather. And then it germinates better in the spring. It doesn't, actually. But that was his theory. And he told his local Communist Party secretary of this over a beer one night. And the Communist Party secretary said, Trofim, here you are, an ignorant, untutored peasant, but you have come up with an idea as brilliant as this just because you live in the glorious Soviet Union. And by this propaganda, he ended up, by some ghastly mischance, as head of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, as a result of which there were 20 failed harvests, because they all had to pursue this ludicrous policy of soaking the seed corn in water, where, in fact, it just becomes rotten and doesn't produce any crop. And 20 failed harvests, 20 million Soviet citizens killed of starvation as a direct result of this mad policy imposed from the center. And anybody who quarreled with Lysenko and said this was wrong, anybody who also opposed his notion there was no such thing as genetics, was sent to prison or killed or both. That was what actually happened in Soviet Russia. And now the same kind of people are using the same kind of language and advocating the same kind of remedies. And it is they, not we, who should go to jail.
Well, I hear you, because, again, people say, well, you're just doing what they're doing. No, they're striking first. We're not saying arrest people for their political speech. We're saying arrest people who say arrest us, because it's that they are calling for the force of the state to be used on our liberties. They are the tyrants. And you know what they say in Latin about tyrants?
Well, absolutely. And as the dictator of Nicaragua used to say to those whom he defeated in the various elections there, you won the election, but I won the count. They like to stack the way things fall in their favor because they know that they can't beat us in argument. If you read Obama's hero, Saul Alinsky, another communist agitator just like Obama himself, Alinsky, in his Rules for Radicals, he says this. He says, don't try to argue with the capitalists. They are right. We all know they're right. We know they have the truth. We know they can argue better than we can because they're right and true. So if you want to deal with them, attack their reputations. And this is what she's doing. She's trying to make out that anyone who dares to say that there may be something wrong with this bogus climate science, that it's been oversold and over-exaggerated, and if there's no economic basis for it anyway, anyone who says that, she says, is effectively mentally defective.
Now, Lord Monckton, we've only got a few minutes left. You've been very gracious to join us on short notice, but I want to release the hounds of liberty here, cry havoc and release them. She had literally hundreds of pages at three different universities that were expunged, but they will be in the Google cache and the Wayback Machine. I have a limited crew. You have a limited crew. It is now time for all of us to crawl through the caches of what she said, because they expunged it all in a desperate stratagem to hide this, because the one document we found that they forgot to get, she's calling for authoritarianism. Okay, of course, she'll say this isn't her either in this letter to Obama. So, again, I believe they're afraid of this issue. They know that it's hit the zeitgeist, whereas thousands of other academics saying similar things, literally dozens at UT, I know personally, 2 miles away calling for it, calling for Chinese-style authoritarianism, forced abortion. I mean, this is what's pushed by these eugenicists. Lord Monckton, I wanted to look at the big picture here and talk about Agenda 21. The environmentalists, who aren't real environmentalists, as you said, they're distracting from all the real stuff that's happening that needs to be dealt with. They are establishing Agenda 21, a global UNESCO model of the ultra elite against the rest of the free market, a neo-feudalism, a post-industrial world. They've taken over 30,000 acres, that's conservative, in Austin the last 20 years, saying, forcing people to sell it for pennies on the dollar. Farms and ranches in key development zones. I've interviewed the farmers and ranchers. They take this, one of the fastest growing cities in the U.S., they take this land and a few years later take the restrictions off, and they, the commissars, the former mayors and others, sell it and control it and make money off of it. Open criminal activity. And they told the citizens, when we take this land, it's going to be giant green belts. But most of the land they didn't turn into green belts. They built shopping malls on it, movie theaters, whatever. The point is they stole it. Now, here's the Austin American Statesman. Residents troubled by surveillance cameras on these tens of thousands of acres they haven't sold yet, because they don't want humans using it because they'll think it's their park. They put up big fences. Show folks a shot of this, crew. They put up big game fences where the backyards back up and arrest people with hidden cameras that are seen ever walking on the land that was promised to be greenbelt. And it says in the article, worst of all, they even hike on the trail. The evil humans are hiking on the trail, and they have hidden cameras watching the evil citizens. I mean, this is pure feudalism, Lord Monckton. Your comments on that?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is an outrage. And I think it's time that instead of just complaining about this, we started to make plans to fight back. The first step, it seems to me, is to get the matter of President Obama's birth certificate into court with a serious challenge rather than the joke challenges we've had so far. The next thing to do is to make sure that the Republicans, who seem to me to be dead from the neck up and dead from the neck down, every time this kind of outrage from the left comes out, they should say something about it. Why is it left always to you and me and Mark Morano and a tiny handful of others to speak out and say that this kind of hate speech from Professor Norgaard's university is the kind of thing that ought to be a criminal offense? If they try to make hate speech as they define it from us a criminal offense, then it's time that they should endure the same thing. If they go around accusing people like you and me, Alex, of being mentally defective because we dare to question the notions of global warming that they present, then they should go to jail for that, because that is an unreasonable restriction on our right to our reputation. And we have in England a law called criminal libel. You do that to me in England, I'll have you in court for it, for criminal libel. And you can go to jail for a long time for doing it. Now, in the United States, you have no such law. And I think that free speech, which is guaranteed in your constitution, can only work if universities like that of Oregon are told that if you use hate speech of that kind, you can be fined millions of dollars, and the people at the university responsible for it can go to jail for a very, very long time. Let us start using against the left precisely the weapons they are trying to use against us and see how they like it.
Well, Lord Monckton, don't we start with not even calling them the left? Because, I mean, Thomas Jefferson was on the left. You want, you know, the old classic liberal. I mean, I could say you were, you know, would be a classic leftist in that you wanted more freedom, more liberty. I want to show some photos. You can't see them, Lord Monckton, but later you can see the video. This is for your request for video stills from the hidden cameras lining the preserve, aiming at people's back kitchen window at night with them inside it eating. So this is what, with our tax money, they take tens of thousands of acres, don't want you on it because they want you to forget it's theirs so they can sell it later to their friends. I mean, it is just so blasphemous what they do.
And the reason why they want to keep you off it is that there is a very ancient right which goes back to Roman law and came to your law through English law. It's known as usufruct or right of use, and that if the public passes freely over what would otherwise be private land without any restriction or fence or anyone saying you mustn't do it for 10 or 12 years.
It conveys.
The public then gains a right of way, which makes a mess of their plans later to sell it on to developers. That's why they're putting those fences up. That's why they don't want you walking through the land. It's not that you're going to tread on the voles or hurt the flowers. No, no, no. It's because they don't want you establishing a right of way so that they can't then sell the land.
Yes, sir. Exactly. It was supposed to be a commons. I remember in the law, it was supposed to, it's all over the country and all over the world with these UN land grabs. It was supposed to be, they said, a commons park. And they immediately fence it and don't let you use it and then later sell it. I mean, it's so evil. How do you stop them?
They fence it. It's because they don't want rights of way established, because if a right of way goes across there, it vastly reduces the sale value to developers. That's why they're doing this. It's entirely for basically criminal reasons. And the trouble is now that because the state has become so wealthy and the individual so comparatively poor through having to pay excessive taxation and comply with excessive regulation, fewer and fewer individuals have the kind of wealth that is needed to take these people to the courts and get justice. And so I am also looking at proposals now to set up, effectively, using their language, a people's court which can call to account any official paid by taxpayers for their behavior, and the people will be entitled to free representation at the expense of the public authority against whom they are bringing the charge, just so as to level the playing field and allow us to get our points.
Yes, sir. We're out of time, Lord Monckton. Just briefly, what do you think of her reportedly saying it's racist? I mean, the UN Agenda 21, that's pure racism.
Of course it is. All of it's racist. All of it is designed to try to shut down the West. And it is disfiguring to see so many people like her calling us names like racist when it is she who is the racist. She is saying there are two races, the clever ones like her and the mentally defective like us. That is exactly racism, and she should go to jail.
Well said, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. Scienceandpublicpolicy.org. Thank you, Lord Monckton.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Calling against the tyranny. Coming up, Monsanto threatens to sue Vermont if legislators pass a bill requiring GMO food to be labeled. That is a real environmental issue that they do not want you to know when something's GMO. In fact, the big pork-producing lobbyists come out and said, do not allow cloned and manipulated pigs into the food supply. People will not buy pork anymore. Do not do it. Lord Monckton just pointed out, overfishing, massive in the world's oceans. Whaling should be illegal. All of it. There are real things, deforestation. But the carbon taxes, folks, it's all about the mega banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, that created it with Ken Lay, the idea. It has nothing to do with the environment. Side issue, we've got, the best-selling author and whistleblower of Economic Hitmen, John Perkins, joining us here for a short interview to just look at what's happening in the world. He was, of course, sent in to basically take over countries, and if he failed, they sent in the hitmen. Very important information with him here in just a moment. First off, your purchases of books, videos, DVDs, T-shirts at Infowars.com funds this truly independent alternative media operation that transcends the left-right paradigm and exposes the fake left and the fake right to bring humanity together under common sense, deep, full-spectrum analysis. And I only promote what I believe is the best, like the great longevity products that are discounted at InfoWarsTeam.com, Tangy Tangerine, you name it. But also, I'm a big fan of gravity-fed filters because reverse osmosis takes all the minerals out. I use it for cooking and things, but it's still important to get some water that has the minerals in it. And gravity-fed filters are the way to go. They reduce all the major toxins. They don't cut everything out, but they, depending on the test, 99.99 of most of them. Fluoride's almost impossible to get out, but they have a special filter you add that reduces it almost down to nothing. All the specs are at InfoWars.com. I've done the research. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter. Bigger filters, works faster, more accessories, better pricing than all the leading competitors. We have the specs on the site compared to leading competitors, not even a comparison. In fact, if you scroll down or click on one of them, it shows the specs. I mean, just amazing. Check it out for yourself. And we've got a discount for InfoWars.com readers and radio listeners at InfoWars.com on the shopping cart for the ProPure line of products. I have a video I shot demonstrating it. This is just the cutting edge of it, the best product. It's been out there a few years, but it just blows everything away. Look at the specs down on the bottom of the page there, compared to the leading competitors. Element size, bigger, silver impregnated, leading competitor, no. Red dye test completed on both major it works. Life expectancy, the same with leading competitor. Arsenic reduction, it just goes on. Filtering required. Priming, no, you don't need that with the point is it's all right there, kind of babbling through it. Again, just go check it out right there and find out for yourself at InfoWars.com. And you enter the product code WATER at checkout and get 10% off on the ProPure water filter systems right there. Okay, going to John Perkins, a former chief economist, major, he's advised the former chief economist of the World Bank. He's worked at the highest levels. I'm not going to try to go over his whole bio. Most of you know who he is. He's written Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He's also written The Secret History of the American Empire and Hoodwinked, Blueprint for a New Form of Global Economics. And he joins us now. I've been on in about 6-8 months with all the big developments that are taking place. John, great having you. I've got so many questions, but for you right now, what is most important front and center for you, somebody who's been on the inside of this, what the controlled implosion of Europe, Goldman Sachs capturing Europe when Hitler and Mussolini and Napoleon couldn't? What is most important on your radar screen right now, John Perkins?
Well, Alex, I think all of that's important. I just came back from Istanbul. I'm headed off to England and Ireland and Iceland, and I'm traveling around a lot and heading around the United States, speaking very many different places. And what I'm really struck by is how we're waking up, and shows like yours are really making that happen. And we're seeing, there's the Occupy movement. People are waking up, but we're seeing, I saw in Istanbul, I see in the Middle East, I see in China, we're seeing in Russia with people standing up to Putin. We're seeing it around the world today that people really are waking up. And some of it isn't leading anywhere. It's just people out on the streets, demonstrating and talking. But to me, it's a good sign that shows like this one are getting through to people. They're really beginning to wake up. And despite the way that the corporatocracy is digging in, we know that we're waking up. And the fact that they're digging in so strongly also indicates to us that they know that we're waking up and we're beginning to win. And so my hat's off to you and all the others that are out there spreading this word, because the tide's turning.
Well, I agree with you. And again, they tried to co-opt and take over the Occupy movement that was speaking out against corruption in Wall Street as being the heart of the problem, not just here, but worldwide. That's where the much of the main system of the monster resides, not just its tentacles. But when they couldn't co-opt it and just turn it into a call for higher taxes, the Obama administration had simultaneous raids in 30-plus cities arrest the people. So they're failing to co-opt the Tea Party. They're failing to co-opt the Occupy movement. What do you see from being on the inside of this? Describe what an economic hitman is, because we haven't done that in a while, and what we see happening in Europe, what we see unfolding right now.
Well, we see all these countries being hit. I was just on a program yesterday in Ireland, and Ireland's got hit very hard by economic hitmen. Italy, Greece, Portugal, Iceland. And the United States. You know, I've been talking to a group of people here in the United States who took credit cards that said that they could have interest. That 3% is all they have to pay in their interest. But the fine prints, and many of them. I've talked to this whole group of people that are now trying to file a class action suit because they took out loans. They use these loans to finance down payments on houses and many other things that they thought it was at 3%. The very, very fine print, and even lawyers didn't see this, said that you could set it up so that your payments would be paid every 30 days or every 35 days, let's say, and automatically, and therefore you'd never have to pay more than 3%. If you didn't set it up that way, if you didn't pay within those 35 days, your interest payments would go up to 30%. What people didn't read, what they didn't see in this extremely fine print, was that the banks had the right to go from 35 days to 30 days arbitrarily. And so all these people suddenly found that they hadn't made their payment on time because the time frame had changed from 35 to 30 days. And so suddenly they're being hit by 30% interest rates on these loans. There's nothing they can do about it. These big banks doing this. And it's that same process. You know, it's similar to what we did on a much larger scale to the developing world back in the 70s when I was an economic hitman. It's what's happened in Ireland. It's what's happened in Italy and in Greece. It's happening here at home to our own people. And the point is people are beginning to see through the veneer. They're beginning to see that our country, in fact, the world economy, has been stolen by a bunch of robber barons. And it's time for us to take it back.
Expanding on what you did so people can understand from an inside perspective on what these mega banks are doing, how they operate, how they take over countries, including ours, because understanding that is a way to reverse engineer it and extricate ourselves from this. I mean, describe what you cover in your best-selling book, Economic Hitman, Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Okay, Alex, so what I did specifically was identify countries that had resources that corporations covet, like oil, for example, and then arrange a huge loan to that country from the World Bank or one of the other big banking organizations. But the money would never actually go to the country. Instead, it would go to our own corporations to build infrastructure projects in that country, huge projects like big power plants, hydroelectric plants, and transmission lines and distribution stations and multi-industrial parks. Things that would benefit a few wealthy families in those countries, as well as our own corporations that built them, but wouldn't help the majority of the people who don't have enough money to buy much electricity, can't get jobs in industrial parks, so they don't hire many people. And yet the people of the country would be left holding this huge debt that they couldn't repay. So at some point we go back in and say, hey, since you can't pay your debts, essentially give us your resources, your oil or whatever, sell to us at a very low price without any environmental or social regulations, without having to take care of the people in the country that we're exploiting, or allow us to build a military base on your soil or vote with us on the next critical United Nations vote. And in a few cases where we couldn't convince presidents to take on those deals, which were really bad for their countries, the jackals step in and they either overthrow governments or assassinate their leaders. And you know, I talk about my own personal experience in Ecuador with the president there, Jaime Roldós, democratically elected president, Omar Torrijos of Panama. They didn't buy into these deals. They had a lot of integrity, and both of them were, and they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't buy my deal, and so both of them were assassinated.
Now, when they don't do the deal, the jackals come in. What do the jackals do?
Well, either over. overthrow the governments that we just saw this happen in Honduras with President Zelaya about 2 years ago, or they, and we've seen it, of course, happen with Allende in Chile and Arbenz in Guatemala and so on and so forth, or they assassinate the leaders, which we saw in my case with Jaime Roldós of Ecuador and Omar Torrijos of Panama. So they're either overthrown, and if they go kind of peacefully and they leave the country like Zelaya did in Honduras, okay. If they're not going to go peacefully, then they're taken out.
Looking at Europe, you know, I remember when we first talked 6 years ago or so, or I guess longer, we were talking about how the bankers were now going to do the same stuff to us in Europe, in the United States, in England. I've seen some of the top Irish reporters bring up to the European Central Bank in press conferences, hey, most of this debt, over 90%, isn't even ours. You got our government to sign on to your derivatives, and then you lecture terms to us when you loan us money back. This is crazy. And the ECB people, just in these videos, I intended to play one today, but it's up on Infowars.com, they just laugh at them. I mean, it's such a con job how these bankers do this. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, that's exactly it, Alex. It's a loaded gun. It's a con job. It's a scam. And what I described earlier that's going on in the United States with these credit card loans is exactly the same thing, that the banks are screwing their own customers big time. And it appears to be legal what they're doing, because it's fine print on the contract that says that you don't, that they have the right to just arbitrarily change the time frame from 35 days to 30 days, for example. And, you know, we've seen this over and over. We've seen it here in the United States when a few years ago all the bankers were telling people who could only afford a $300,000 house, well, buy the $500,000 house, tighten your belt for a few years, and then it'll be worth $1 million. Just go ahead and do it. We know you can do it. We will approve this loan. And then, of course, the bottom falls out of the market. The house is not only worth $100,000, and the people still have a loan out for $500,000. They can't pay it. The house is foreclosed on. The banks repackage the whole deal and sell it to someone else. It's pure robbery. There's no question about it. And it's time we really stood up to it, and I think people are beginning to stand up to it.
What did you make of 2 or 3 weeks ago when that high-level Goldman Sachs exec quit and said, you know, we try to rip off our clients, we make fun of them, we call them idiots, we call them Muppets, and I just can't be part of this culture anymore. And then now we learn Goldman Sachs has sex traffic, sex slave funds, and, you know, Mitt Romney's and wife is invested in it.
Yeah, well, I think that guy, you know, really hit the nail on the head. He opened a Pandora's box, and there's going to be a lot more coming out. I was grateful that he had done that, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that coming down the line.
John, why do you think what we've seen? I know you've talked about this record globally. Central bankers, not your local banker that helps the economy, but these, you know, these finance capital crony people, these insiders, these money changers, I guess you could call them. They're resigning in droves and running off to the third world or to remote areas. Why is that?
I think they're scared. They see this coming down the tube, you know, that people are waking up. There's going to be a bloodbath. I hope there's going to be a bloodbath, and I think they're expecting that to happen too. So take the money and run, you know. I mean, they can take their millions and live like kings in many parts of the third world.
Remember a few years ago when it turned out that Goldman Sachs was like buying all these weapons at their offices and like having weapons caches at their offices, and they said it's for the public. I mean, wow, when people are in business as a company buying guns to protect themselves from people with pitchforks and torches, I mean, you know that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they, you know, they sort of saw the Occupy movement coming, and it hasn't come nearly as strongly, I think, as a lot of people expected it to. But it's been pretty ruthlessly put down in many places. We're in a very, very interesting world, Alex, and you know, I mean, this is a time that's been prophesized by indigenous cultures around the world as a time of shaking up, of turmoil, and a time when people are going to wake up more, and we really are waking up, and we have to expect that there's going to be a pushback by the status quo. They're going to do everything they can to stop this turnaround from happening.
Well said. Just briefly, the Kony 2012 people, we just learned, have released their big part two, and I'm attacked in it. for pointing out that this was being used by the State Department to try to launch wars in Africa. And the same thing's happening in Uganda, you know, in the past. This is happening now. I'm not saying the Lord's Resistance Army is good. They haven't been seen in years. There's these calls to go into Sudan and start a war. And my point is they get these well-meaning people involved thinking backing military intervention is for the good. But I never see the State Department get behind something, John, you know, for the good generally. It's always for special interest. But they'll use the left now. I'm seeing some of the left call for war as if it's humanitarian.
Yeah, I was seeing that in Mali, too. But, you know, the threat of war is a good for business. Unfortunately, you know, our economy is to a very large degree based on the military. And I can't believe that anybody really wants us to go to another war with Iran. I mean, my God, Iran can close down the Straits of Hormuz and shut off more than 20% of the world's oil supplies. We don't want war with them. And I don't think most of the big industries do either. But they want the threat of war. Because as long as you've got that threat of war hanging over you, everybody's buying weapons and security.
Well, what about Libya? I mean, I'm not a fan of Gaddafi, but he was a stabilizer. He'd come in out of the cold. They've put al-Qaeda in charge now.
Yeah, well, we remember that Gaddafi, you know, was opposed to the dollar, to the central bank, the Federal Reserve, our central bank. And he was threatening to create a new exchange for oil that would not be paid for in dollars, but would be paid for in what he called the gold diner. He had a pretty big gold supply.
Stay there. I want to hear about why they went after him for that. Final segment with John Perkins, author of Hoodwinked and, of course, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Amazing person. We'll also give you his website when we come back. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. And, of course, we're also streaming video. You keep hearing me talking about video at PrisonPlanet.tv. Front page of Infowars.com, the war on prosperity is calling you. Enlist in the IRS. Incredible graphic. Bill allows IRS to deny Americans right to travel, and it looks like it's going to pass. It's passed the Senate. It's now going to the House. I mean, let me tell you, this has always been the plan. Arizona law, hot on the trail of Obama's documents. Ron Paul continues to draw huge crowds, but media blackout. More furious, U.S. soldiers trafficked arms, drugs to DEA agents. That's at Infowars.com. Sarkozy arrests dozens of Islamicists in raids before election to look tough. They staged that whole deal, folks. After huge ammo buy, DHS purchases bulletproof resistant booths for highway checkpoints. We've got a big article coming out about this professor saying if you question man-made climate change and paying Al Gore money, basically, you should be put in a mental ward. Now we found more of her writings. End democracy. Okay, that article's coming out. See how fast they pull that off there. John Perkins, whose website is johnperkins.org. You can sign up there and get his free newsletter at johnperkins.org. You can also sign up at Infowars.com halfway down to our free newsletter. John, finish up with Gaddafi, because that's a good model. I mean, love him or hate him, he was actually building up Africa, and he was not playing ball with the banker boys.
He certainly was not playing ball with the banker boys. He's made the same mistake, if you want to call it that, as Saddam Hussein and the Iranians are poising for the same thing today, and that is to say, you know, I'm going to bring the dollar down. Basically, he said, you know, there's no reason why we can only trade oil for the U.S. dollars. And he was recommending that African nations and other Muslim and Middle East nations buy oil and sell oil for the gold dinar, which was a currency that he basically created, and he had a huge gold supply to back it up in his own country. And now we don't take kindly to any infringement upon the Federal Reserve or the U.S. dollar. And I think, frankly, that's the big reason why we went after him when we did.
And, you know, I always say that, too. But, I mean, you're saying it. We say we. And I guess it is we because we let our government turn into this with corporations. But more and more, they just ignore the people's will. The American people don't like what's happening. I mean, Congress has a 9% approval rating. I think we just need to recognize this government and these corporations do not have our best interest at heart and really are the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It isn't really we, it's they. But we are part of it, and we've got to turn it around. We've got to realize, though, that the government really isn't all that important. The government's run by the big corporations. But ultimately, we do have control over these corporations. You know, we got rid of apartheid in South Africa back when I was in college by boycotting companies that supported it. We get corporations to clean up terribly polluted rivers in this country and open their doors wider to women and minorities. We do have a lot of power over this if we just exercise it. We have to do it, though. We have to demand that these corporations turn things around, or we won't buy from them. We won't support them.
What do you think of how they're trying to rebrand war now under left cover, because it's been discredited under the right, where, oh, we're going to aid Syria, the rebels, and they're calling them protesters when they're arming people to try to overthrow them?
Yeah, well, it's just another misuse of words, and we hear that all the time. It's always there for war and dictators, support dictators. You know, it was shocking to me that when Mubarak fell in Egypt, that a huge percentage of the American people thought he was a democratically elected president. He's been a totalitarian dictator backed up by our CIA for decades.
Absolutely. John Perkins, thank you for the time today.
My pleasure, Alex. Keep up your good work.
Thank you, sir. The one area that I didn't properly cover today is really big right now. We covered it days ago, but now it's blown up. Obama said, hey, forget Congress. I'll launch wars if I want to. You know, go to Hades. But now he said to the Supreme Court, because the word is they're going to rule against his plan. And so he said, oh, they don't count. You know, I can do whatever I want. This has turned into a big deal and is really flipping people out right now. Now, this may be a ruse where they're really going to rule for it. Who knows? But we'll cover it tonight on the Nightly News, 7 o'clock, PrisonPlanet.tv. And back tomorrow.
GCN.
Back tomorrow, 11 a.m.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
If the greenies don't shut us down.